Howdy, 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 ladies and gentlemen, boys and ghouls. Welcome back to Boulder Talk Radio, episode number 9 or 10. I don't quite know. Someone will tell me. I'll look in the description. Anyway, welcome back to the show. You know, I wasn't going to stream tonight. I was going to take a night off. I was going to spend time with my family. Do the lazy late 30s hard-working man routine. Watching some television, playing some video games, going to bed, and then waking up in the morning and going, God damn it. God damn it, I need a vacation. But in the meantime, that didn't happen. That didn't happen because a certain Mr. Vickers, a certain vengeful father, decided he wanted to post himself some communications today. And I was asked to go through them. There are a lot of communications here. I will go through them as fast as I possibly can from what I can gather, from the information that I can glean from those who have been more privileged than I in regards to time to being able to come look at this, have said that, well, there are some funny little nuggets of information here, right? Pulled straight from the anus. Lots of nuggets. Corn, potential scat, definitely nuggets. Yes, Vengeful Vickers, a cat. Vengeful Vickers. And so what we're going to do is I'm dropping the StreamYard link. It's also in the video description. You guys can come on in and get ready to voice your opinion once we get done. So I'm just going to dive in because I don't want to be on for longer than I have to. And there is a lot to get through. So tonight, earlier this evening, Ethan Ralph sat alone. He sat alone in a shack, a converted deck of a small Richmond, Virginia home, furiously hitting F5 on aborttheretort.com, wondering just what vengeful Mr. Vickers had in store for him. His palms were sweaty, his brow furrowed, liquor sweating from his pores. What would he do? What would he say? What would they think? What would the farms think? Gator! Gator! Gator, tell me, Gator! What are the farms going to say, Gator? And Gator doesn't answer. Because Gator, in this scenario, is probably dead. Tell you what, I'll give him a good exit. He died banging that blonde Puerto Rican lady he likes to lie about. So the rest of us now get to read what was posted to scare Ethan tonight. If you've seen anyone stream sniping the kill stream, you can see that his pupils were dilated. He was afraid. And he should be, because the art of gunt defense was posted. This is what he says. During the entirety of the freak show, the one thing that Mrs. V and I have tried to do is get either Faith or the Gunt to justify that their relationship is not only normal, but healthy. At first, our focus was on Faith, because to be honest, neither of us were terribly interested in communicating with the Gunt. Finally, Mrs. V and I decided if their relationship is solid and their love is as pure as the two of them seem to think, they should be able to work together. And at least to attempt to convince Mrs. V and I how we were wrong about this situation being more terrifying than any horror movie ever made. Below was a series of emails shared between Mrs. V, myself, Faith, and the Gunt. Feel free to have a laugh at my expense. There's more than one typo, and I did my fair part of gorilla chest beating. But I expect that you'll laugh more at the Gunt and his ridiculous reaction to our inquiry. Faith remained silent during the exchange and has not then or ever attempted to justify, rationalize, or support her decision. Let's read the first email here from Matthew Vickers. Subject, your relationship to Ethan Ralph. Email address, redacted. Ethan and Faith. Well, we have tried our best to reason with Faith and figured that perhaps we are going about this the wrong way. You two are a couple. So having Faith alone defend the merits of your relationship is ultimately unfair. As such, the healthiest way to approach this, I think, is for the four of us to figure this thing out together. Faith, Ethan, Ariana, and myself. Because honestly, we, Ariana and myself, are not going away. Despite what anyone else thinks, Faith ultimately comes from a stable household. And good parents would not look at the situation and simply write things off as, well, she's an adult, so she's going to do whatever she wants. You see, from our point of view, Faith is essentially flushing her life down the toilet. I haven't read these, by the way. And the only way that we will leave it alone or mind our own business is if we can be convinced otherwise. So we'll explain ourselves, and the two of you together can explain how we're wrong. If you can. First, Faith tells us that the two of you have been having unprotected sex since she... Wow. Okay. Faith is, she's honest about that, at least. Unprotected sex since she arrived in Virginia. She said very clearly that she wasn't trying to get pregnant, but that she wasn't trying not to get pregnant. No. Faith, no. Faith also tells us that Ethan wasn't trying to get her pregnant. Okay, I can't believe we have to actually explain this, but if you're having unprotected sex, then anything short of trying to not get pregnant is necessarily the equivalent of trying to get pregnant. This is ninth grade sex education. I love how condescending he is. It's great. Now, Faith has already admitted that this was a bad idea. And actually, at this point, to be fair, the whole internet knows that was a bad idea. But this was a solid, this was a, you know, this was a few weeks before that whole thing happened. So, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Anyway, and she says now that Ethan has agreed not to try to get her pregnant. Faith was clearly in an unhealthy state of mind by her own admission. But what is Ethan's excuse? Ethan said that he was committed to making sure Faith followed her dreams to become a teacher. Again, this is 2 whole weeks before he ruined any chance she had to become a teacher. So, you know, whoopsie. All right. Anyway, how exactly is Faith supposed to excel in school with a baby? How does that work, sir? Now is your opportunity to justify how you, a supposedly mentally stable 34-year-old man, thought that trying to get an 18-year-old girl pregnant was a good, smarter, healthy idea. It's because he's been hanging out with JF Carapy. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus Christ, this is too funny. Holy shit, this is fucking funny. We're not even, this is just the first email. Oh, I'm going to be here all fucking night. God damn it. Anyway, I'm going to try to get through this. Okay. So, second, a healthy relationship by definition requires two healthy people. Faith has already admitted that she is not healthy, and she has a damn good reason to not be healthy, which we understand now because we have been presented with new information. So we have a dynamic where there are two people, and either one of them is unhealthy or they both are. It's simple math. At this point, your relationship began on an unhealthy premise and continues on an unhealthy path.
You nailed that one on the head, Mr. Vickers.
Little did you know at the time of penning this particular scribe how right you were. Third, Ethan is either a complete liar, which we know is accurate, or absolutely developmentally delayed from an emotional standpoint, which is also accurate. We've also...
Dude, this guy does not hold... He does not hold back.
We've already concluded that Faith has very real, very expected emotional and mental illness brought on by a horrible traumatic event. Also, she's 18, so we expect her to take the I love him stance, as she was in the past with every unhealthy relationship.
Dude, he's just kneecapping Ethan constantly.
That part is actually pretty normal for her.
Dude, he's throwing his daughter under the bus. I get why. You know, it's. I get it. I understand why he's doing it. It's not... It's mean, but I get it.
It is absolutely abnormal for a 34-year-old man. Love, as Ariana and I have discussed at length with Faith, is absolutely impossible in the short amount of time the two of you have known each other, let alone been in a quote-unquote romantic relationship. Did Ariana and I say that we loved each other the same amount of time when we first started dating? Of course we did, because we were both 17 years old, at the same emotional immature stage in our lives, and ultimately dumb. Granted, the big difference between us and you two is that we had the intellectual fortitude to not have unprotected sex, nor indeed have any sex at all before marriage. Ah, come on, Mr. Vickers. Come on, sir. I can smell bullshit when I see it. At least come clean about Handy J's. Right? Something, sir. Anyway. And built our relationship over 4 years before getting married and moving in together. Are they religious? I have no idea if they're religious or not. I don't know. I just feel like this is a very religious thing to do. Anyway, so for now, Ethan, how on earth have you reached a conclusion that you quote-unquote love Faith? Understand that only 9 years ago, Ariana and I were the age that you are now, and by then we'd been married 13 years. We'd already had 3 children. Faith was 9 years old. We bought our home, worked several different stable jobs, had owned a successful business for a few years. For certain, the one thing that we had learned was the difference between a healthy and unhealthy relationship, and clearly understood what was required for actual love. But remember, we're dealing with a human equivalent of Eric Cartman here. These factors notwithstanding, Ethan has proven to be absolutely incompetent communicating and dealing with Ariana and myself. His first communication was a misdemeanor threat under the guise of anonymity. When Faith got doxxed and I lost my temper, as any reasonable father would, his response was to tell me that I sounded like a girl. Ethan doesn't view me as the father of the girl he thinks he loves. He views me as a peer. Indeed, he is much closer in age to me than he is to Faith, but his age is he is no peer of mine, not even close. Fourth, you both say that you love each other and want to be in a long-term relationship, but everything that you've done has greatly increased the statistical probability of dooming the relationship, and worse yet, neither of you cared anything for the innocent life you were risking bringing into this wholly unhealthy situation. Faith, the trauma that we, your mother and I, now understand that you suffered explains your state of mind. There is no explanation for why Ethan thought that this was acceptable. Though he is obviously welcome to try and provide an explanation. Ethan, you said early on in our first communications that your intentions towards Faith were honorable. You and I must have radical definitions different definition of the word. Helping a sick 18-year-old girl run away from home so she can share your bed. Let's be fair, it's an air mattress. And you can try to get her pregnant is the opposite of honorable. Oh, my God. Just nuke it from orbit, man. He just launched a tactical strike. He says here, I will stop at these 4 points and hope that the two of you have some really good counterpoints in your actions. Ooh, let's find out more. So Ethan's response, much shorter, less succinct, full-on gunt guarding. At this point, he is his own gunt guard. Oh, Jesus. Let's find out. Okay. From Ethan Ralph. Subject, your relationship to Matthew Vickers. Faith isn't sick. She's had a touch of depression since I've known her, but I reject your claim wholesale. You yourself dismissed mental problems in your emails to me. I understand you're probably trying to build some legal case, but it's not going to work. And again, every piece of evidence I have is that she's of sound mind. It will be a major uphill battle for you to prove otherwise, so I believe you're trying to lay the groundwork with messages like these. My mother will also testify to her sound mind, and I'll marry her if need be. You're really underestimating my level of commitment here. Holy fucking shit. Are you fucking kidding me? This dumbass, like, the first sign of pushback from the dad is like, I'll marry her. Fucking test me, bitch. Like, that's literally what he's saying right now. He is literally saying, like, if you push me, I will marry her out of spite. That is how committed I am. Like, what the fuck? Seriously, this, you are offering up to marry his daughter as an ultimatum. Oh my God, this was written at 10:41 in the morning, July 24th, 2020. Oh no, if it came in this, okay, sorry, it'd be like 1:41 p.m. because of the 3-hour time difference. He was already sauced at this point. Now, he goes on to say here, because, you know, tough guy Ethan. big man Tyrone type guy. I'll also mention that you threatened her with felony charge upon arrival at my house, which I have an electronic records of course. As for my sexual relations with your daughter, I have nothing to add to that whatsoever. Yeah, because you don't want to admit that you were banging her with a raw dog. I mean, we've all seen it, Ethan, at this point. We've all seen, you know, we've all seen tiny, tiny Ethan. I think you couldn't wear a condom because it would slip off. Anyway, and I have nothing to say about the state of our love for each other. And that's another thing that's not really your business. You want to talk shit? You want to throw insults? I have nothing to say to that. Oh, wow, that's a first. There's zero chance of us having a constructive conversation with even just the shit you put in this email alone. You want to try to convince me to break it off or convince Faith to break it off? It's not going to happen, sir. I've tried to be respectful, but I've not received the same treatment in return. If you can come from a place of acceptance and respect, we can discuss things. If not, I have nothing to say. Oh, really? I've tried to be respectful? Dude, you threatened him in the first email as Rad Roberts. You approached him with an accusation of violence against his daughter, domestic abuse against his daughter, sustained abuse against his daughter. And you threatened to drag him through the internet, to ruin his life through the internet. You made all of these threats, these boisterous claims from behind an anonymous moniker, you fucking Hunter S. Thompson wannabe. And then you're like, well, I tried being respectful. Yeah, suck down that bottle as Maker's Mark, you fucking idiot. Seriously, what the hell? I love her. I love this shirt for my cat. I love her. I'll marry her. Gator, play the kip. Aruf Farouk here says, a radical Roberto is at it again. That's very true. This is fucking funny, guys. This is fucking hysterically funny. Okay, let's keep going here. So, Matthew Vickers responds. Re, your relationship. To Ethan Ralph. I dismissed her mental problems before I knew she had been suffering blank. Presented with new information greatly changed that presumption. I have no legal case, so I don't know what you're talking about. Not sick enough to be committed does not mean healthy. Your mother has known her for 3 weeks, so congratulations on that accomplishment. You threatened legal action, or I threatened legal action legally. You failed to recognize that she didn't indeed commit the crimes I mentioned before. You have nothing to add about your sexual relationship with my daughter because you have no defense of it. You cannot expect me to be accepting or respectful of what is a complete joke, which is how the internet now views Ethan's penis. I will point out that you addressed none of our concerns and countered none of our points, and your failure to do so only proves one thing. You are not willing to fight for her. You want respect, little man? Earn it. Ooh, dropping the bombs. Dropping the bombs. Ooh, man, he got in there tight. He hit him with that, right? You're not willing to fight for her. Oh, this is going to be good because now you're tackling his ego, right? The little tiny ego to go along with the little tiny package that's shaded by the gunt tree. We know about this. This ego is going to be, well, I can't wait. I'm on the edge of my seat. Are you guys on the edge of your seat? Let's keep going. All right, Ethan responds. I just woke up to your insanely disrespectful email, and as have happened to me several times now. I understand you don't like, what is he playing the victim? As has happened several to me. Your insanely disrespectful email. Dude, you blasted him on social media just saying, like, I just got done fucking your daughter. I didn't, you know, you are like, oh my fucking God. Oh my God. You can totally tell that his mother never spanked him as a child. She never punished him as a child. Jesus Christ. Okay, I told you I wouldn't like me either in your shoes, but I'd also be respectful enough at this point to talk like adults. And forgive me if I don't trust your word, good sir. I didn't get to where I am by putting a lot of faith in hostile people to me in my personal life. Dude, where are you specifically at this point, Ethan? You're still living in that shack. You're shaving your head because you were bullied into doing it. Money doesn't count. You were bullied into doing it. You drink 5 nights a week, probably 7 nights a week. The world has now seen your dick, which is not something to brag about. And you want to act like you've got the hottest show on DLive, and by your own admission, you're the number 8th earner. So, really? Is that the hill you want to die on, Ethan? Is that the hill you want to be on? All right. Now he says here, I'm committed to Faith. Right, considering you tried getting a three-way with her and Aid. Anyway, I'm committed to Faith, continuing to follow her dream to be a teacher. Actually, one of my friends who teaches in an elite private school in Los Angeles is going to let Faith assist her with distance learning so she can get more credit and experience. And this is also July 24th, 2020, so it's a solid 2 weeks before the world saw Faith, you know, what went in and what came out of Faith. And also, what do you really want me to say in all this, Vickers? It's just line after line of negativity insults. I obviously disagree with almost everything you wrote there, but what else is there to say? LOL. How about a rebuttal? How about answering his original query? How about anything other than just like, I woke up to your insanely disrespectful email. Play the clip, Gator. I bet you he says that in his sleep. Gator, the soundboard. Daddy Jim, Daddy, no. Why did you leave me like every other man? If anything here, he should be looking up to Mr. Vickers. Right? Don't you think that here, a person who's had absolutely zero positive male role models in his life, has a man who's like arguing, fighting for his daughter, he should be like, Daddy Matthew, I love you, Daddy Matthew. Adopt me, Daddy Matthew. Teach me the ways of being a decent human being. Teach me to put down this devil's liquid. To stop buying hookers in Miami. Twice because one of them kissed me on the mouth. Please teach me to stop stealing my mother's Xanax and mixing it with alcohol in order to have the most epic pill stream. Very cool. Teach me all of these things. Please, I need help. Yeah. Every time I think there's some kind of path to conversation, you scuttle it with nastiness. Oh, wow. Yeah, Ethan, have you looked in a mirror? Well, actually, I really hope you don't look in a mirror because that's fucking horrifying. The rosacea alone is enough to make you want to just puke. I'm not going to participate in that. As you said, if you guys are her parents, there's nothing to be gained with a nasty back and forth. Oh, at this point, it's for our entertainment, Ethan, so there's very much something to be gained. But a month ago when you wrote this email, you had no knowledge of that. You also didn't post a sex tape. So, yeah. Anyway, Matthew responds, and you are still avoiding defending the relationship, which is not what an adult would do. This is why I do not respect you. You are like the little yipping chihuahua trying to look big and scary in front of the Doberman. I'll clue you in on something. Being nice in an email doesn't make up for you trying to get a girl pregnant. Actions matter, sir, not words. If your relationship was right, you would fight for it. But you know you have no defense, so you cower away like a little bitch. Ooh, making up some nonsense about us trying to get her committed. Brilliant. As we learned later on, 2 weeks later from when this email was written, Faith actually had herself committed by telling her parents that she was in these situations, by telling her parents that this is a bad place for her to be. All of those things were happening. And so, yes, they're not the ones trying to get her committed. Living with Ethan for a couple weeks is what put her in that position. Then, of course, she became the one with the ultimate power and could easily manipulate him, which I think was one of the reasons why Ethan looks as sad as he does. Now, Matthew Vickers did fire off another shot here because he needed to get another rebuttal in, which I don't necessarily feel that this is something that should be done, but whatever. He responds back with, and I love the line, I didn't get to where I am by. You're a 34-year-old controversial internet personality who is a felon who can only get laid by manipulating a barely legal girl that you lured away from her home into your spectacular rental home. Where you are does not impress me in the slightest. Can we get that printed and put on a fucking t-shirt? Can we just get that put on a t-shirt? Can Drummer buy it? Can we give it to Drummer to buy? He probably would. All right, so then I think this is then there's another email here. I think this is from Ariana, Mrs. V. So this ought to be interesting. Yes, it's from the mom. It says here, I have been relatively silent. I have been nothing but supportive and loving to my daughter. Just because it doesn't support Ethan's goals doesn't mean it's disrespectful. Ethan, you, sir, have no idea what respect is. I've already told Faith this, but Matt was never anything but 100% polite to my father. If he had talked to my father the way you have talked to Matt, I would have run like my tampon was on fire. I will arguably admit that's a very good line. If he hadn't loved me enough to be truly respectful to my family, He doesn't love me enough to be with me. We have been married 22 years, been together over 25 years, known each other about 35 years. He has never been rude to a single member of my family. Ethan, you couldn't make it 5 minutes. To be fair, the tape, I think at this point we kind of saw he could make it about 5 minutes and 31 seconds, which arguably is nothing to write home about. But I think in this context, he's got a little bit of the win, just a wee one, a tiny one, a smidge, a speckle, a pimple, just one of those, a thimble, you know, just very barely visible to the naked eye, that sort of thing. Anyway, Faith knows what I'm saying is true. Faith, you can tell him about how we have been there for every member of our family, no matter how sick or troubled they were, no matter the hardship it posed to us. You've treated us horribly. We have transferred money to make sure you had money for doctors and meds. The minute the maturity of your man is triggered by someone doesn't mean he's an asshole. Does that sound like a good partner or father to a child? He admits that he wouldn't like him if he was your parents. Good people strive to be better. Immature 34-year-olds rest in their crapulence. She's dropping some of them subtle bombs. All right, I like Mrs. V. Only a very damaged 34-year-old would be in the same stage of life as you. And remember, Faith, we've known you for 19 years. He's known you a few months. You know it's a fucking joke that he knows you as well and has proven to stand by your side, help you, keep loving you despite the lying and mistreatment of us. We are always here for you and will love you no matter what, a.k.a. Mom. All right, that was good. That was a good message, right? That was good. That was a good one there from the mom. You know, that was a good one there for the mom. All right, so Ethan responds. Now he's backed into a corner. Both the mom and the dad have come out, guns blazing. One good cop, one bad cop, Mrs. V, Mr. V. They're kind of double-teaming the gun. They're coming in. They're punching that belly like it's a punching bag. They got him backed into the corner. What's he going to do? What's he going to say? How's he going to respond? How's he going to fight? How's he going to fight back? How's he going to fight for the woman he loves? How's a gun going to fight back? Let's find out. I give respect to those who give it to me, period. Sure, I give leeway to certain people, but the things your husband has said to and about me, I don't give respect to people like that. I don't care who they are. If they change course and treat me decently, I will change course myself, which is an absolute fucking lie. Everyone knows it. That is how I approach life and will continue to be that way. You yourself have said some nasty things about me in this email. I know you will be shocked to hear that I don't consider that a way to continue with a constructive dialogue. If either of you would like to talk respectfully, I'll be here. If not, I don't have much else to say. Be well. Signed, ER. So just the mindset right there, right? He's backed into a corner. He gets defensive. And he keeps falling back on those previous lines. Well, you were mean to me. You didn't respect me. You didn't give me the respect I feel I deserve. Why should I talk to you? Why should I listen to you? It's the same arguments. It's deflect, 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 deflect. That's all he has is deflection. And what I love is that now it's a double team from the mom and the dad that are more or less calling that out. And they're using I wouldn't say like 100%. Like it's some harsh language, but nothing that's like super mean. But with Ethan, you could come at him head on. You know, and you could hit him with something head on. He can shrug it off. But if it's like a low blow, like not even a low blow. I mean, if it's like a mild milk toast, banal insult that gets under his skin, like a worm, like a virus, like MRSA. And it just festers and festers and festers because he can handle an outright frontal assault. But what he can't handle, what he's unable to handle is anything that would remotely bring about some kind of actual self-reflection, which is why when you hit him with that low T insult, you come at it kind of like just a real light insult. It's what passes through the deflector shields. Now, Mr. Vickers responds with, Ethan, you have no idea how respect works. You see, actions earn respect. You lecherous, barely legal-seeking cookie dough want of reanimated dog shit.
Ha ha ha. Oh, man, that's good. He's just like, he's just hitting them. And these email exchanges, by the way, are like over the span of like an hour. This is all happening so fast. Now he says, I am her father. I have already earned respect based on that alone. And if you were any kind of man, you would have realized that in the beginning. Your job was to earn my respect because I'm not just any other person. I'm the father of the girl you're screwing. Okay. I mean, I see what he's trying to say there. I just kind of feel that line. I think it misses the mark a little bit, but that first one was fucking delicious. Now he says, it's your responsibility to change course. And we afforded you that opportunity by giving you the chance to explain where we were wrong about this obviously toxic relationship. Your response is to say that you're being disrespected. Well, now you are, Tubby. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh man, these are great. From day one of when I started my relationship with Ariana, I would have thrown myself in front of a train for her and would to this day. You can't even take a little disrespect because, surprise, you care more about that than you care for faith at all, which is such a true statement. Like, seriously, that's a very true statement. You're a self-centered man-child who knows nothing of respect or honor or intellect or love. And this will never end. I will never go away because you have revealed yourself for the scum that you are. You are not worthy of her. You are not worthy of respect. If you want to change course, that is up to you. Defend this relationship, which is becoming painfully obvious, is nothing more than a joke. Now, Ethan here. The master of bants on the kill stream, obviously one to be able to throw down. We can just yell over each other, blah, 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 blah. And then just a string of nothing but end slurs. Responds a little sheepishly, I might say. This is a very short email, so you know he's like, it's really gotten him. He says, you seem upset. Might want to get that under control. I'll have Faith pick you up a knickknack for you in D.C. this weekend. Perhaps that will cheer you up. Be well, Vickers. Also, you're a fat fuck yourself. So being a wad of cookie dough holds more weight. Get it? This is why they pay the big bucks than it would coming from someone else. Time to get back to the gym. ER. Oh my God. What kind of comeback is that? That's like, I'm rubber, you're glue. Anything you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. BT dubs, I gotta go get swole at Planet Fitness. Bitch, we're in the middle of a fucking pandemic, man. Gyms ain't really that open. And I'm sorry, I don't believe, I've seen Ethan grow. He's swole, but it ain't the kind you get from going to the gym. What is this shit? My God. That is. I can't believe that this is like the funniest goddamn shit I've ever read. Oh my God, why has anyone ever been afraid of Ethan? How has anyone ever been afraid of this? Like, all he can do is use bully tactics, right? But if you can, like, get around the bully tactics, get around that, and then just start hitting him and hitting him and hitting him and hitting him, he's got no defense. He's got no defense. He's like a bruiser who's got a fucking glass jaw, man. All he can do is maybe throw a good punch. Like, if he hits you once, you might go down, depending on how bad it is. But other than that, he's got no defense. Anyway, Vickers comes back with, they should save their big bucks, which pays for your lavish rental mansion. For someone who can come up with better insults. Also, it's spelled the knickknack, and sure he does spell it correctly. And no, or and still no defense of your relationship. Remarkable. I am fat, to be certain. But I am hardly a fuck. Okay. All right. That's a bad dad joke right there, Mr. Vickers. You have him. Don't throw out dad humor. I know you want to because you think it's going to work. Like, it's going to make your daughter laugh and she might want to go back to daddy. But really, you got to crush the gun. All right. You got to crush the gun. And dad jokes aren't good. I mean, well, granted, he's never had a dad. So maybe like they're just lost on him. It's probably just one of those things where it's just like a mix of a communication, right? He's never had a father. He doesn't understand how fathers think or fathers talk or fathers act or fathers teach or anything like that. I mean, it's pretty apparent at this point, right? He's a human equivalent of Eric Cartman, probably just with a tinier penis.
He says, anyway, he says, the qualification is reserved for people who have been fuck-ups their whole life. Wear it with pride, felon.
Wear it with pride, felon. Oh, oh, that's got to hurt, baby Ethan. Okay, he says, oh, oh, here he comes back with the money. He comes back with that big, right?
Oh, not even that. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, this is great. He's like, my felony has made me well over $150,000, and I wouldn't change it for the world, sir. No regrets, as they say. Yeah, that's a lie. We all know it. You were in the joint trying to act all tough, like, hi, my name is Ethan, and I'm from the internet.
They're going to be like, oh, you're one of those chomos from the internet.
It's like, no, no, no. I like them of age, but just of age. Anything older than 17, 18 in a legal state is just bad for me.
Anyway, it says, also, you're wrong. It's an acceptable. Okay, now we get into the knickknack. This is where you get into, like, this is, he actually did this. He says, and you're wrong. It's an acceptable form of spelling according to Oxford. I'll take their word over a coin merchant. Good day. By the way, I'm done here. LOL. I don't really have time for this. I get enough of it online. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then he attached a screenshot of knickknack spelled N-I-C-K-N-A-C-K, saying that it's an acceptable far less frequent variant of knickknack. So basically, he misspelled it and he got lucky that the Oxford Dictionary has a variation of how it's spelled. It's like he probably thought to himself, I have bested the Vickers. I have shown him how he was wrong with spelling, and I will take this and I will use it to brag about making $150,000 on the internet, of which has probably been a lot of it gone to legal fees and also drinking, and that I live in this crack shack, but we had to, you know, whatever. Yeah, $150,000, my ass. Well, I mean, to be fair, I've made over $150,000 on this channel, so, you know. Not all at once, mind you, but, like, it's happened over the years. Anyway, let's move on. Matthew Vickers responds. You have no time to defend what you love, but you have all this time to hurl insults. I make well over $150,000 every year. Hell, there have been months where I've made that laughable amount. And I've never needed a felony to do it. If this goes back to the fuck-up portion of my previous. You mistake my attitude for being upset. You are doing exactly what I knew someone with the emotional maturity of a 15-year-old boy would do. You avoid the issues and demand respect that you have not earned. Just like the little yipping chihuahua that you are. That's funny. Anyway, far from upset, I find it immensely pleasurable. Because the more you refuse to defend, the more faith sees you for what you are. Worthless. You can be done all you want, but I'm never going away. This will never end.
And oh my God. Oh, okay. He responds back by saying, save the, see, again, you can't, like, listen, okay. I'm just going to drop this little piece of info to, like, Vickers. I think he's listening right now too. Drop your insults in one email. If you fire it back with another email, with another insult, which you've done twice now, we're going to get to that. You come across like George Costanza in that whole, jerk store line from the episode. Oh, I should have thought about it. I had it right there. So he recreates the scene and hopes to be able to, like, use the zinger. And it blows up miraculously in his face. Like, think it out before you hit send. If you got a zinger, hold it till later. If you miss it, hold it till later. Put the bullet back in the, and, you know, back in the chamber, right? Like, leave it there. Anyway, this is what he says. He says, save the money on the knickknack and get Faith a pregnancy test, dipshit. Which is a good line. It's a good line. But, like, him writing it 5 minutes later, it just comes across as like, ah, I got one more one up, you know. And, you know, he gorilla pounding his chest. He's admitted we can laugh at him, but that's my only real criticism on his end. So, of course, Ethan responds that minute response. Faith saw the two of you for who you are and got the fuck out of there at the first opportunity. She is many multitudes happier under my roof with the man she loves. Maybe you should spend more time reflecting on what it was that you did that caused her to not even want to share the same space as you for 1 second longer than necessary. Wishing you yours the best as always, ER. Now, Vickers responds. Still, you don't understand, you poor tiny brain fellow. Tell me who I am, since you know me so well. There is not a man you can find who will speak against my character or the quality of my parenting. My sole regret is that I was unaware of Faith's trauma and that she kept it from me, because he would have gotten her the help she needed before she made such a spectacularly bad decision. You are still clung to this idea that love is possible in this time frame. Go back to the emotional maturity of a 15-year-old. And still, you present no defense for your relationship, just more attacks at me, which I find little more than amusing. Faith is part of the email. Let her tell me what I did that she didn't want to share the same space with me. I cannot reflect on actions that have never been brought to my attention. No defense, no justification. You're getting pussy. That's your goal. What a magnificent giant man-child you are, worthy of being put in a zoo as a cautionary tale to all other children. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is hysterical, man. This is fucking hysterical. Holy shit. Okay. Holy crap. All right. I don't know how many more of these there are. I'm literally just going through them. Let me see here if I can. We got to be near the bottom at this point, right? We got to be near the bottom. Okay. Let me see. Hold on. Okay. Hold on. There you go. I think we're getting close. All right. There we go. Now, Vickers responds back again, this time about 3.5 hours later. So again, he's like, he thought of something he wants to say. Paul's in his court, Vickers. You gotta let the gunt respond. That's how you get him. If you come at him too hard, he can deflect. You can't let him deflect. You gotta let him sit. You gotta let him marinate. You gotta let him get overconfident. Because remember, keep in mind, the overconfidence while being inebriated is what prompted him, along with a very small ego and a jealousy rage, to release that sex tape. Overconfident, thinking that this is going to work out in his favor. He fucks up when he's overconfident. So just keep that in mind. Now, Vickers responds. You know, as a side note, I went back through our original email and could find nothing at all disrespectful about it. We simply laid out our presumptions based upon all the information that we were provided and invited both of you to correct our conclusions. You could have done this by providing more information or coming to a defense of your position. Instead, Faith turned silent and you turned into a bitter fool. You say that you woke up to an insanely disrespectful email. What about it did you find so disrespectful? Ethan responds 7 minutes later. I know you won't believe this, but I actually have a lot of work to do during the day, and especially a lot of work 2 hours before my show. And I don't know, maybe the part where you spend 80% talking shit about me? I can go back and look after the show if you would like. Because, you know, he has to spend 2 hours working on it. Never mind the couple hours they spent going back and forth earlier today. Now, he says, you mistake talking shit for logical conclusions. If you point out what was considered talking shit, I will, of course, explain how we came to that conclusion. And you may feel free to tell us that we were disrespectful at that point. But I did not state anything that is not fact or does not have a logical premise. The worst possible thing is that I left a binary choice that you were either a liar or emotionally developmentally delayed. This was a very real list of concerns that we had, not an attack. If we wanted to see, we just wanted to see if either of you had any justifications to make a claim of this relationship, which is littered with red flags and poor decisions, is a smart idea. Thus far, you've both fallen well short of that mark. You've been having sex with my daughter in a manner which is likely to, if not already, have gotten her pregnant. Oh, wow. Okay. He's just letting it all out there. This is a fact, sir, unless you're calling Faith a liar. Every concern we listed was a valid one. You took offense to it because it painted you in a bad picture, not because that was my intent, but because you have painted yourself in a bad picture. You've not come to defense of any of it. You have belittled the mental anguish of blank. All I was doing was trying to look out for my daughter. Oh, I'm sure you have plenty of work to do. I just don't care much. Ethan, one-line response. I care about these emails as much as you care about my work. I'll respond after the show. Good evening. And so then Vickers responds. And yet you just keep on responding like a moth to the fucking flame. Predictable. That you so casually disregard the concerns of the parent whose daughter you are defiling shows that you don't really care about Faith at all. Go ahead. resist the temptation to respond. Ethan, literally 5 minutes later. Talk shit to me, get shit talk back in return. It's very simple. You could be Jesus Christ himself and I would uphold the same standard. Vickers, 4 minutes later. The only difference between you and I is the shit talking obviously bothers you, even when someone wasn't talking shit to begin with. Moth meet flame. Moth gets burned. Give it until morning, when you're sober, to reread the original email and see if you have the capacity to respond more rationally. Try for once to actually see it from our point of view, like another adult. Have a great show, buddy. And then he responds back with a minute later. I'm 100% sober. I only drink on the show and sparingly outside of it. And the thank you. Okay, come on, guys. Press one in the chat if you know that's bullshit. Press one in the chat if you know that's bullshit. Right? Holy shit. All right, he says, and the thing is, I see it from your point of view. I just don't see any of my points changing your obvious hostility. I'll send them later anyway, because why not? And then I think that goes back to the beginning. Yeah, and that was all over the span of one day. That was correspondence literally over the span of one goddamn day. Holy shit. Holy shit. That was insane, guys. That was fucking insane. Oh, let me look at the chat here. Okay, lots of ones. Seas of ones. All right. I'm dropping the StreamYard. I want to hear you guys' thoughts on this one. There's the StreamYard link. I know I got some people in there right now. Let me just get a drink, a liquid, a refreshment. I have to move away from the mic because there's been a criticism. So I want to make sure that no one hears me drinking and gets turned off. Yeah, Ralph only drinks when the shakes start. Yes, morning, afternoon headshot. Vickers did, in fact, roast him. 100%. 100%. Okay. Let's get into the conversation here. Super Godo Satsu. You there, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Matt? How you doing, man?
I've been laughing my ass off, man. This shit's fucking hysterical.
Okay, let me mute the stream real quick. Yeah, no, it's fucking funny. You know, considering that a lot of the people that are in the same group with Andy Worski and Geek Lulu would do this kind of stupid bullshit.
What do you mean?
It's okay, so here's something that's actually rather interesting. You probably didn't already know. Last year, Geek Lulu, who's a backstabbing piece of shit, got mad at somebody. I'm not going to say who. I'm not going to specify. This is old shit. But because he had gotten mad at somebody, he had dumped information on a friend of mine that he had managed to get because somebody did a mean thing to him.
Okay. So yeah. You mean it's like just talking lots of shit, basically, is what you're trying to say.
Pretty much. Okay. So, yeah. and then seeing this shit with Ethan Ralph is just like, well, I mean, it's not like they weren't going to pull that kind of bullshit anyway. So it's fucking hilarious.
Well, I mean, this particular email chain, I think is hysterical because for one, like it's entirely 100% real Ethan Ralph. You know, it's exactly like anytime he gets pushed into a corner, he lashes out. But the difference, though, is that this is being done through email and he's trying to throw barbs, but he's got nothing. Like the only real insult he had was like called Vickers a fat fuck. Otherwise, it was like, why are you being so mean to me? I need my safe space.
Well, if he's going to call Vickers a fat fuck, he needs to stop being such a black kettle.
Well, that's very true. I mean, the thing is, like he'll act like he doesn't care. He'll act like, oh, I'm just throwing the pants, you know. I mean, like it's just how it is. But no, this stuff, this stuff really gets to him. I think it does.
Well, I mean, you know, that comes from a lot of people from the IBS community, man. They can throw shit out, but the moment you actually start down on them, they can't fucking take it because they're a bunch of fucking baby ass motherfuckers.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you know, I've been in those situations myself, so I can't like necessarily like not claim, you know, I've been there. But yeah, I get you, man. I get you. I think in this situation, it was Vickers very much laid out what I believe was like very apt points. Like, we just want you to defend your relationship so we understand it. which is an adult thing, asking those questions. And then, you know, Ethan coming back with the typical Ethanisms and Faith being silent the entire time really, really does show you that, like, you know, he was trying to, like, look after her. But the whole time he was going back and forth, you know that she was DMing with Chris. You know that was talking with Chris. Like, you know, like, during all of this, like, I'm gonna puff up my chest and I'm gonna defend the honor of Milady, which in this case would be the bottle of Maker's Mark that he sits next to. That's what he does. Like, he's all, you know, she's over there just like, she's like, yeah, Ethan's talking to my dad, so tell me about your cock, right? Like, that's what she's doing.
She's like, I need to see that nice old tiny midget penis there, you know? What we got going on there?
I don't know her history. I'm not looking to delve into that history. I don't care about that. I don't want to even think about what we saw. You know, it's been a couple weeks. No, it's like, I still think I need to go to therapy for what I saw. That's how terrible it was.
Look, I mean, you know, when it gets to the point, you know, when considering me, I work in being a mechanic and shit. And ever seeing that, I wanted to grab the nearest arc welder and just stare directly into the arc so I can get arc flash and blind myself.
Sometimes that feels like the best move. Yeah. But the thing is, though, blinding yourself doesn't stop the emotional abuse you've already experienced. So really what you need is like that flash thing from Men in Black. Just let me forget.
Better yet, if you don't have the flash, just take a fucking brick and smash yourself in the head. I think that does a good job too. I mean, minus the blunt force trauma, but that's a horse in another color.
Well, but, I mean, like, you know, you have to ask yourself at some point in time, is it really worth living after seeing that? Like, is there, you know, like, is it just too emotionally damaging? You're never going to be a functional member of society ever again. I mean, that's pretty bad.
I mean, well, with Ethan Ralph, when you actually got to throw around the fact that you're a known convict, and I'm a known convict, and I make $105,000 being a known convict. Yeah, fuck off with that nonsense.
That's not what even made him the money, was being a convict. Like, when he got out of jail, when he started the killstream again, he was like really laid back. He was like, he was super chill because he was like humbled as fuck for being in jail for 6 months, I think, you know? And like, yeah, while he was in jail, one of his friends got locked up for killing his dad. You know, like, it's true. A guy named Lane Smith, Seattle for Truth, like, killed his dad. And like, that was one of Ethan's boys. And so he came out of jail and he was like, he was a slightly nicer person for about probably 6 months. No, it took him a little bit of time to get to where he is. But then he realized that he could make more money if he turned into an absolute fucking cunt. So he just turned into a cunt and embraced that character. And he'll even admit, oh, I might have been living the kayfabe a little bit too much. Because that's the whole point. Ethan Ralph on the kill stream is not Ethan Ralph. That is a version of
it's a fucking act.
It's all an act. And so whenever that gets questioned or shattered is when like the petulant child comes out. So what I love about Vickers is now waiting. He's waiting for Ethan to be live, and then he drops this info. And he's got more, apparently. He drops his info while Ethan is live, so then Ethan has no choice but to go, because his ego won't let him ignore it. People are going to be tweeting it at him. People are going to be, he reads the farms. You can tell he's reading the farms while he's live. He's got his phone. He's, you know, he's just rapidly refreshing. And then there was even a moment, I think last week, where he was streaming and he clicked over accidentally to a GIF of him that was from the farms.
God.
So it's like he spends all that time.
How can you have that much time to do that shit?
Well, it's because he has people. Thing, well, he has people that look after him. He has people that protect him, that shield him. Like Gator is one of the big ones. Like absolutely. Like Gator will handle, I think, a lot of the a lot of the work for the show, and does like thumbnails and does things like that. And he also protects Ethan from bad comments or whatever. Like, you know, we found out from Aid that Ethan has Gator read the farms in order to protect Ethan's ego. Like, oh, how bad is it, Gator? How bad is it, Gator? Press F5. What they say now, Gator?
Read the farms. Read the farms.
Exactly.
No, because I can completely agree with you on this shit, because two people, really cool people I follow on Twitter, Sacrificial Guts and Metagor Fembot, like, of the interactions they've had with Ralph, it's always been Gator to come to the Gunt's rescue. It's like, I am the first of the Gunt Guard. You must come before me.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all sorts of crazy. But hey, man, I'm going to let you go. I got a couple people that are in here. And I appreciate you waiting. I know you were waiting during that whole thing. I can see you in there. So I appreciate it. And we'll talk again soon, okay?
All right, man. Take it easy. Right, have a good night, man.
You too. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for coming in. All right. Anthony, I see you there, buddy. How's it going?
Matt? I'm doing great.
I'm laughing hysterically at I don't know if you heard the emails, but they were pretty funny.
Strange. That's the freaking strange.
Well, yeah, you gotta know this whole story is strange. That's why we keep talking about it. It is.
Coo-coo, coo-coo.
That's an understatement, buddy. That's an understatement.
Yeah, I did four YouTube videos today.
Nice. What'd you talk about?
Well, I talked about my vlog. I taped the intro of Thunderball. I did a review of Birds of Prey, and I did a fair reaction of the new Suicide Squad.
All right. Do you feel pretty good about them?
Yeah, I'm excited about Suicide Squad. Lloyd Kaufman's in it.
Yeah, I know. You're a big Lloyd Kaufman fan. Yeah, I think you mentioned him last night, too.
Yeah, I know, but he hasn't gotten back to me about my script yet. He's busy. The guy's busy.
Yeah, well, I mean, working in Hollywood, you know, I mean, and the way he works in Hollywood definitely makes sense that you can be busy. But give it time, man. Give it time.
I will. And my birthday's coming up soon. I will do a review of Lovecraft Country after I'm done with Perry Mason.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I still have to watch last night's Lovecraft Country. I haven't seen it yet.
I was watching a rerun of Watchmen the other night.
Good. The movie or the TV show?
TV show.
Nice, nice, nice.
I watch all episodes of a lot of different shows except Netflix. I will get to that at the end of the year.
Well, there's a lot of time to watch a lot of stuff, you know, with the movie theater still not really being that open yet. But
New York Cuomo hasn't approved of it yet.
Well, that bastard will one day, and then you'll be back in the theaters watching movies.
Yeah, well, me and my mom and my stepdad. My mom excited for Batman.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be really good. Awesome. I watched that trailer like four more times today.
I saw that twice today so far.
Yeah, it's a good trailer. But hey, man, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to kind of blaze on through.
All right, no problem. But 8 more days till my birthday.
All right, Anthony. Thank you. We'll talk. I know we'll talk again probably tomorrow.
No problem.
All right, man. Have a good one, dude. Peace out. I like Anthony. He's a good guy. All right. What's going on? YouTube made great again.
Hey, Matt. Well, there's something because my shit busted last time I was on, but I just wanted to say because some dude was talking the other day about how could his father, her father, Faith's father, fucking do all this shit, pressure this shit all on the internet. It's one simple fact. He's trying to break a cult. Like Ralph, like people that are sycophants of Ralph, they're in he's got like a miniature cult. And the best way to fucking break a cult is to plast all the public fucking dirty fucking shit they've done all over the fucking internet. He's not doing... Like he's doing this because he knows it's the only way. Like it's a war of attrition in a sense. So that was one of the things I just wanted to say the other day that I couldn't because my mic was being an idiot.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, I think he's trying to. He's not trying to break a cult. He's trying to break Ralph. That's what he's trying to do.
Well, look at the Church of Scientology. When people talk about the Church of Scientology, now you can believe what you want, but I personally think that majority of people are on the understanding that the Church of Scientology is a cult. And what do they have? They have all these websites debunking all the shit they're trying to pull. So I think that's what's happening here. I think it's he's trying to debunk the bullshit and bleed him money. And hopefully Faith gets wise at some point, but I don't think she will. I think she's also, I think people seem to forget that she is a, 18-year-old girl?
Real quick, Davey Crotchkick, thank you very much for becoming a new member. I really appreciate that. That's awesome, dude. Thank you very much. Sorry, go ahead. I wanted to make sure I got that while we were live. I didn't want to miss it.
No, that's okay. No, I think everyone's forgetting that she's just an 18-year-old girl. She's acting like an 18-year-old girl.
Well, yeah, the thing is, 18-year-old
women. I'm not like one of those women haters, but like fucking women. Women are manipulative cunts. That's just when the way
you have
built.
Okay, hold on. When you have to preface that by saying like I'm not a woman hater, but they're all cunts.
It doesn't really work very well. We live in a strange time where, you know, I don't knock a person for their biology. They're, you know,
you kind of did.
Let me be fair. Men are complete perverts. We are a horn dog animal.
But there is a difference though between calling someone a pervert and calling someone a cunt. There's a difference there. There's a massive difference there. Because a pervert might ogle and fantasize. A cunt, well, in the terms of the slang, generally means someone who is very vicious and seeking to destroy, or very evil and maniacal and manipulative. That's not being a pervert.
And that word exists for a reason.
Well, yeah, because the British popularized it like crazy, and Americans have tried to shut it down for years. But it's coming back. We're taking cunt back. That's what's happening. Yeah, we're taking it back.
But my thing is, it's like women are a lot. Okay, let me put it this way: women are a lot smarter than dudes. Better, and they know how to manipulate men into doing what they want. So all this. All this is a very intelligent woman manipulating a really, really stupid man.
Well, okay. I see what you're trying to say, and I will grant you a few of those points in regards to the Faith Ethan situation. However, what we need to understand here about Ethan is that you're looking at a person who's almost 35. Who has never, you know, his relationship with his ex-wife, she lived across the Atlantic. He almost saw her maybe once, twice a year, you know.
Which how can he be even married at that point?
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's my personal opinion.
Well, no, that's true. That's true. That's why the whole thing fell apart. Like, she outgrew him is the general consensus, is that she outgrew him. And because when they met, she was 18 by his own admission. Faith, when they met, she was 18 by his own admission and her own admission. So...
recognizing a pattern here, guys.
Well, that's why. Yeah, that's exactly the whole thing. And so we know that, yes, there's dealing with a person who is emotionally stunted and copes with alcohol and copes with drugs and copes with Xanax and copes with all these things. I mean, he has a lot of deep rooted psychological issues. So in this regard, Faith is a person that was like in that emotional wheelhouse, right? Was most likely, let me give my theory based upon what I've read from Vickers, is that Faith most likely presented herself as a damsel in distress, a wounded deer, if you will. She was, you know, she's of the right age that Ethan likes, which is fresh out of high school. And she's like, oh, my family's abusive. My ex-boyfriend's abusive. I was sexually assaulted. Point for point for point for point for point out of this manipulative playbook. And I'm sure she's done it to other men. In fact, if you listen to Chris when he was on here, he kind of alluded to that by saying that she was very pushy about getting what she wanted in regards to photos, or I don't know if it was sending or receiving. Now, that doesn't absolve him of any responsibility at all, mind you, by the way. That doesn't absolve him of any responsibility. But it does open up a bit of idea into the mindset of the relationship. So then if you extrapolate upon that and you place that on the Ralph situation, why I personally think she ran back to him when they discovered the sex tape was the fact that she now had him where she wanted him, where she now had him. He probably also was like calling her like, baby, I love you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, baby. I didn't mean to do it. You know, he was bawling. You know, he was crying. All of these things. This was happening. So he probably like promised her, I'll never do it again. I love you. And he basically was like, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll be whatever you want me to be. And at that point, you're telling a girl who is already good at manipulation and having manipulated many people, including Ethan up until that point, is now thinking, I have the ultimate power. I have the ultimate ability to control this person and to do it in a way where he won't say a thing. And if you notice, ever since she came back the other day, there's been a very distinctly different attitude surrounding him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hold on here. I got a $2 cozy super chat from Cozy Glow. Genuinely enjoyed Wheelman. Will there be more eps? Yeah, Cozy Glow. I've got like a fuckload of footage I got to cut together and edit together of like Disneyland and Comic-Con from last year. And when stores reopen, there's a lot of places I want to go to. There's a Star Wars shop about 45 minutes away from me that I've been to once. I've got some footage, but not enough to make a full episode. So yeah, it's on the horizon. Trust me, I want to get back to that. I really like those things. All right. Let's see here.
Just anyway. One more thing before you boot me up.
Okay.
I want your opinions on My Chemical Romance, man.
I don't really have an opinion on My Chemical Romance. I couldn't even tell you a song of theirs.
No. I'm talking about the new Batman. It's a joke. It's a joke on the new Batman because it looks like the lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
Yeah, but the lead singer of My Chemical Romance wouldn't pummel a dude like at the end of that trailer. You know?
I know, but it's still funny to make fun. Like, don't get me wrong.
The hair is a bit much. The hair is a bit much. But other than that, dude, I don't care. Like, the score is
lit. I'm not going to lie. I'm excited for it. I'm still thinking how he looks fucking hilarious.
It's a little bit thing. Yeah, it's a little bit of a weird thing. But no, that score, Giacchino's score, I love Giacchino. He's like next in line to Williams in my book. Mm-hmm. And so that Giacchino score that Matt Reeves directing, like when Batman gets shot in the chest and the bullet bounces off the bat symbol and like hits the other dude in the shoulder. Like, oh, fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. I can't wait for that one. I'll be there opening night. Like, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh no, I'm excited for it. Especially when I heard the rumor that it might be rated R. I'm like, fuck yeah.
It's possible.
I'm excited for it. I'm like, yes, please. We need this to be R. Like, if it's not R and it's some PG-13 crap, I'm going to be like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
You can't do like, you know, like beating the crap out of something like you did. Like, you could hear bones breaking in that trailer.
Yeah, I watched it again today in 4K. It's just so good. So yeah, goddamn good. And whenever I can go see Tenet in IMAX, you know they're going to have the IMAX trailer. So I would be very happy with that. But all right, man, I'm going to let you go. Right, we'll talk again soon. Thanks a lot for coming in, buddy.
No problem.
All right. So let's see here. We got Biohazard Fallout. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, Matt?
Not too bad. Just kind of laughing at this shit. This whole situation.
Me too. Yeah, I waited until your stream because I didn't want to read it. Like, when it was, I guess it's straight off his website, right? Abort the Retort.
Yeah, it's on abortheretort.com. That's right. Yes, the number one anti Ethan Ralph website.
Now I gotta check that shit daily.
Just follow him on Twitter. Like, just follow him. He does drops around 6:30 p.m. or 7 p.m. Pacific Standard, usually when he does drops, when Ethan is live.
Yeah, that sounds good. So, like, what I thought about, like, the whole email thing, right? Like, because it's pretty in-depth, and it's, like, what, over the span of how many days?
It's over the span of, mostly in the span of about 8 hours.
Oh, that was only 8 hours?
It started at 9:30 in the morning and went to around, like, 4 in the afternoon. And then it went, yeah.
He went that long with, like, why didn't he just stop talking? Like it's obvious, like, it's not going to go anywhere.
This is Ethan we're talking about here.
That's fucked up. I thought it was, like, over the course of, like, several weeks.
No.
Like, the whole, like,
That's why I made sure to say, like, 4 minutes later, Ethan responded. 5 minutes later, Vickers responded. Oh. You know, like, literally, it was with minutes. Like, this is the thing. It's like, they're both sitting there, you can tell. And they're like, you know, Vickers is sitting there. I assume he's smoking a corncob pipe with a steampunk hat, steampunk glasses. That's just what I assume at this point. You know, stroking his long beard and going like, yes, yes, Ethan, yes. You know, he responded, look at this pitiful fool. You know, and he's like, yeah, he's got a keyboard. Sure. It's like a typewriter keyboard. I'm building him up. I'm giving him a legend is what I'm doing. I'm making this man a fucking legend. That's what I'm doing. But don't fuck it up.
Sounds good. And like, what's crazy is like, if I was Ralph, like, and I got like all that fucking email, and there's all this like controversy involving this fucking girl, and she's not even like that hot or anything. Like, she's very plain Jane in my opinion. And I would just be like, well, fuck it, man, this isn't worth it. And I would try and look for something better. And then show, well, I wouldn't even show them off. I would just be like, oh yeah, it didn't work out, and just whatever. Like, okay, the Kiwi Farms can have that win, right? That would have been like ripping off the Band-Aid quick. By now, nobody'd be talking about it, right? Like, he'd be done and over with this drama. So either he really does like this girl and he's into, like, you know, head cases. Maybe that's a thing. But I there's no fucking way that I would go through all of this bullshit, right? Like, it's just totally not worth it. And it's probably not good. Like, he's probably going crazy too. Like, he's probably losing his fucking mind because it's stressful, right?
Well, I mean, the way, okay, so the thing you have to realize about Ethan is, and I say this like I know him exceptionally well, but, you know, 6 years now, and he hates it when you criticize him. Like, he hates it when his ego is bruised. He has no other choice but to fight back, right? It's a compulsion. It's like a knee jerk reaction. It's,
yeah.
Like, and I'll get, and we all have triggers for that kind of thing, by the way. Like, you know, when I was talking with Drummer and he was getting at me on the flagging thing, like, there's so many mistruths that happened back 2 years ago. Like, I have this compulsion to defend myself, which is not a good look, because then it gives people the wrong impression. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, it's something that, like, I have to work on, just accept that there are things I won't be able to change and things along those lines and not do that. But there are triggers that exist, and we all, yeah, have them. So in the case of Ethan, his ego, when it's challenged, his authority, if you will, when it's challenged, because amongst his tribe, he's like the alpha. He's the alpha gunt. There's no one greater in his tribe than him, with the exception of Dick Masterson, who only comes by occasionally. Like, Ethan will absolutely cuck himself to whatever Dick wants. You know, that's just the way he is.
He'll do it to people that have an on par or bigger audience than he does, because he knows that there's benefit from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of that happens. Yeah, there's a lot of that you know, he'll, if you you know, because if you listen to him, he'll go like, well, we had our tunes on here, and that's like 900,000 subs. We got so with her 700,000 subscribers.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And he that's that, you can tell with him, it's a source of, you know, it's a source of, it's a point of pride. It's like, yeah, he's trying, yeah, to, he figures if he has them on, that they will then tell their audience, and then he'll be able to find, yeah, more people. That never works. That's never how it goes. Like, you know, you might get lucky with one or two, but it's just never going to happen. I mean, if I got, like, you know, I reached out to Boogie 298 because I've known Boogie for like 6 years now as well. And I'm like, hey, do you want to come on and chat one day about YouTube? I think that'd be a good conversation. You know, I'm not going to sit here and go like, ladies and gentlemen, I've got Boogie 2988 with his 4.25 million subscribers coming on Boulder Talk Radio. We are so, it's, oh my God, 4.25 million subscribers, people. Like, there's no value in that to me. You know, there's no value in that number. I don't care about the number. I care about the person.
Yeah, the number, like, the bigger it is, obviously, you'll get more people that might stay and watch, but it, like, it's not going to be like half the audience. Like, half their audience is going to now watch you alongside with them. Like, it would be like a small fraction of it.
Yeah.
And only if there was like a cross, like, there's a cross relation to it, right? Like, if let's say we were talking about like philosophy or something like that, it would make sense to have someone like Sargon or Vion, because their audience is kind of into that stuff, right? And that's what you're talking about. So yeah, the crossover, yeah, would work a little better that way. But like, if you had like Boogie, which, what does Boogie do? He plays video games and cracks open Magic the Gathering packs, you know, on stream. So his audience is like, what the fuck is this, you know, like, alt-right guy yelling and making Hitler jokes? Like, it's not really going to resonate well with that audience. There might be some people, but very few. But still, yeah, he does like to get big names on. It does help grow a show, I guess, because he does make more money, because there's usually, it draws a bigger crowd. So even for that, like, I understand the networking aspect of him, but yeah, I mean, I don't see him. You never know. He might jump off, but honestly, I think this whole shit with this 18-year-old girl is probably, it's made things worse. Only his core audience likes it. Everyone else is laughing at it, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think that's a big part is the fact that everyone is laughing at it, that everyone yeah. is chuckling at the fact that, you know, because his defense of it is, his defense is, well, you know, she's 18, she's a legal adult, and you're just jealous that I'm getting this 18-year-old piece of ass. And then the rest of us can now go, yeah, but we've seen that 18-year-old piece of ass.
So at the cost of him showing his dick too.
At
right?
the cost of him showing his dick, yes, or Scott, and also like you know, sniff, 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 sniff.
Right? Yeah, that one's the big one that I overlook because it's just you know like I didn't watch the video, I just skimmed through it to just see if that was him, right? Like because I was there the night that it got dropped, right? And I was like, I'm not watching this because it's really disgusting, and. People after pointed out, yeah, he fucking thumbed her in the ass and huffed it. I was like, that blew my mind. I was like, why would you show that?
In his mind, for him, it's a fetish. But in that mode,
like I would have edited that out or something.
He
right?
didn't. This, like, that's the thing is he uploaded it from his phone, most likely to streamable. He yeah. most likely, you know, he because there were like no edits. There was no begin. You know, it was just a straight. Well, I would
have if you're gonna do it, at least like clean it up so that you can hide your embarrassment.
But he doesn't. That's the thing, though. Is to him in that moment,
he
thought
really hammered. When he did it.
Well, obviously he was really hammered. But the idea there, you know, is one of those moments where you have to realize that he wasn't thinking, and what he was thinking. Was this is going to destroy this guy. I'm going to hurt this guy and I'm going to own him and damn the consequences. Like all it was a move to hurt somebody else and to harass somebody else. And it was really because he was so hammered, he didn't think about the consequences. And then of course now, you know, like it's been a couple of weeks and like now everyone knows about it. People are still talking about it. It's not going away. They have to constantly block people in the DLive chat. They have to constantly like, I'm sure he's got filters on his Twitter feed for certain terms about gunt or sex tape or micro dick or, you know, whatever they want to call it. And then, you know, like all those things, he has to defend himself over it. And well, I'll tell you the worst thing about it. The worst thing about it for him right now is the fact that people like me are mocking him relentlessly.
Oh, yeah. You know what hurt him even more than just the mocking is if people started being more interested in maybe not like you're not going to compete with him on the same viewership. Maybe not for a while.
Oh, are you saying
time to grow up? No, it's going to take time to grow that.
Are you saying like, oh yeah, get Boulder Talk Radio.
Get Boulder Talk Radio
1,000 people watching.
The next small podcast that's going to eclipse Ralph. And you know what would piss him off the most is Super Chats rolling in. Because I know he fucking loved that Super Chat money and it's gone. He has to deal in lemons now.
Yeah, but he doesn't mind the lemon thing, to be honest with you. Real quick, I do want to address your Davey Crotchkick $5 Super Chat. Thank you so much, sir. Asks, my buddy wants to know what you thought of the new Bad Boys movie. He didn't think it was the best, but he could think of worse. Unfortunately, I haven't seen Bad Boys for Life yet. I just haven't had the chance. It's on my list of things to watch. I want to see it because I'm a big Bad Boys fan. And I just never got around to it at the beginning part of the year. And then COVID hit and then, yeah, I just haven't got it yet. But so when I do watch it, I'll talk about it probably over on 3 Buck Theater. Maybe we'll do a Bad Boys stream, talk about all three of the movies or something. So because I do like those movies quite a bit. I've heard good things about number 3. I just haven't seen it yet.
All right. Okay. So
sorry. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't want to miss your Super Chats. It's good to address them because, you know, they're throwing you a few bucks, right? So
yeah, I appreciate it
for sure, 100%. So I'll just leave with this closing statement of right. like I don't think that like any self-respecting 34-year-old and I mean like we're talking about like Ralph's got to be in like the bottom 5% or even less, like bottom 3, to talk to someone's parents that way and to even just be in this situation. Like most 34-year-olds would be like, yo, this is getting weird, I'm out, right? Like they would just say, no, it's not working out, and then fly her back and then just put it behind them. I know we're talking about Ralph, but I mean like he's still 34. Like you'd think that there'd be some life experience that he'd be like, you know, this is not going very well, you know, and it's probably going to blow up even more in his face because I have a feeling that, I don't know, 18-year-old girls are not good to keep around when you're 34. It's just, it's not going to last long. She's going to get spurned by him, or he's, you know, they're going to have a nasty break, and then she's going to come out and she's going to lay a lot of shit on him. And that might be enough to completely bury him. Like, his core audience might be like, yo, this is fucked, and they might dip.
Well, okay. So what you have to realize about the situation, and I agree with you to an extent, is that at this point, like, I personally believe that we have to break it down to brass tacks, which is, she has got control over him. And he knows that, because at any point in time, she can file a complaint. And that, if he is still on probation, which I think he's either on parole or he's on probation. I forget which one it is. He will go back to jail. Right.
Yeah. Cause at the time he was on probation. So
this is only like 2 weeks ago. I don't know when it ends. I don't know. I keep hearing different things.
Well, Aide said that he would have still been on probation, and she was with him not that long ago.
So yeah. Well, yeah. So
he probably told her.
But at the same time, though, she doesn't have to say anything for it to be considered a crime, by the way, just so we are clear of that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, who was the intended target of that hit?
Yeah.
It was Chris. It was the intended target was Chris. Think of him what you will, which are many things, and people don't like him, and I completely agree. He was the one that was being targeted, which means he has a harassment claim. And it, based upon my very, very, very limited understanding of Virginia state law, I just want to make that abundantly clear.
Yeah.
It does appear like, you know, this was a class one misdemeanor, which just like the release of the revenge porn comes with a maximum of 12 months in prison or 12 months in jail and a $2,500 fine. And so you look at both acts simultaneously, the intent behind the act. I mean, it wouldn't be if an up and coming DA wanted to press charges, it wouldn't be that difficult to file or to get the case going.
I think it's a unique enough case that it would be looked at because of, like, you know, it's, I know the courts don't like internet stuff, but I mean, this one is kind of like the scope of it is pretty large. It's not like, you know, Fred gave John his sex tape of him and his wife without her permission, and like one person saw it.
Yeah, well, I think someone had said something along the lines of, like, I thought I saw something when it happened. Like, Ralph brought up the Hulk Hogan thing where Gawker hosted the sex tape of Hulk Hogan and ultimately ended up killing Gawker. You know, because
he's not Hulk Hogan.
He's not Hulk Hogan. And it wasn't and it wasn't leaked by Bubba the Love Sponge, who was pissed off at Hulk Hogan for banging his wife. It was released by Ralph himself. There's a difference of, it's a whole different thing there.
There's a lot of differences. And Ralph doesn't have the money to win a lawsuit like that complicated. There's no way.
Well, like, what's really funny, what really cracks me up, though, too, is the fact that, like, when, you know, if there was, let's say, a court case, the prosecutor could easily showcase Ralph's response to it a couple of nights later on a show.
Yeah, it's all documented.
Where he's just like, well, you know, like, some intimate recordings were leaked and people learned some things, and it's like complete overlook, washing away, whitewashing, gunt washing of the situation where they just, ignore responsibility for it.
He also like bragged about it, which would show like no remorse. Like, he didn't feel bad about it. Like, it was a power play and he didn't care if she got hurt or whoever. He didn't care afterwards.
Yeah,
he's like, what did he say? I'm a sex maker and a slut maker or something like that. Like,
did he say that?
Yeah,
he did. Oh, that's disgusting.
And that was like shortly after the sex tape release. Like, I don't know if he was still drunk or
disgusting.
Yeah, because like a prosecutor is gonna see all that kind of stuff and be like, yeah, this guy's fucking.
Oh, bad. Yeah. Yeah. You know? Everything that's going to come out, people are going to be talking about. And then, you know, people are going to be talking about and the, like, all the archives, all the pictures, all the links, everything's going to be out there. Because Ethan kind of made the mistake of pissing off a whole bunch of people with a lot of free time and really, really, really awesome attentions to detail that make up for their lack of social interaction skills. And I'm not going to come right out and say specifically what this group of people are. As a way to disparage those with actual mental health issues, but still, they come pretty close.
Oh yeah. So yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, maybe that's why he isn't breaking up with her. I don't think that's the reason. I think now it's like a pissing contest. Like, he needs to maintain this relationship to look good.
Well, you know, it's what's, you know, and but I'll leave you with this to kind of ponder on.
Okay.
What if that ends up being what he wants?
Yeah, probably. It probably
so,
is, honestly.
Because he is so desperate for love. He's so desperate for acceptance. He now has a girl who he is entirely like. You saw in that in the email. He's like, I will marry her if need be. Like, mm-hmm. like you are literally offering this up as an ultimatum. You know, and he apparently went to court the other day. People are speculating as to why he went to court. You know, it could be a justice of the peace situation.
Oh,
what if that happened? What if she is now married to him? What if that is a reality? You know, what if that was what she wanted and that's what he had to capitulate to?
That'd be insane. She's gonna. I hope if that's what happened. I hope she just like divorces like next month, like after the annulment period. So that because like if you divorce and if you get married and divorce right away, you can't really claim anything because it's obvious that you were just trying to rake the guy's money in or whatever. But like, just waited till that probation period ended, and the day after it ends, she just divorces the fuck and takes half his money. That'd be really funny.
She gets half the house.
Oh God. Well, Mr. Vickers would just own it at that point, right?
God, I need. Yeah, he was supposed to send. He's supposed to send off a letter this week. He's supposed to send
about
off
owning it.
See about owning. To see about owning it.
If he owned that, that would be the best, like, that would be the funniest shit he could, like, you know how he, like, he has this website and that, and that's great, but if he bought this fucking house and made him pay rent, that would be the funniest shit. I think that would be the most demoralizing thing you could do to this guy.
I'm not gonna lie. When I first heard about that, when I first heard that that was a possibility, that that was an option, I think my initial guttural response was, do it.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
If you need to buy this house, I created GoFundMe. Actually, I said this to Kraut. I said this to Kraut on Discord. I said, hey, if he creates a GoFundMe, we should chip in. And then Kraut went on Twitter and he said that to Vickers. He took my line and he said it to Vickers. I'm like, you thieving bitch. That was my joke, motherfucker. But I don't care. I don't give a shit about it, period.
Well, because, like, buying property, if you have the money, isn't necessarily, like, you're throwing money away. Like, that's your property now, right?
It's also not necessarily even that hard to do, you know? Yeah. Like, it's a process. Like, I bought a house. I own my house. Mm-hmm. You know, when we bought our house, it was like we went to the bank and we talked to them first about what we want to do. And they said, okay, go, like, you know, give us your credit. What do you have for deposit? Okay, great. Go find a house. I mean, all right, we found a house. We talked to them. We talked to our realtor. We made the offer. We went back to the bank. We, again, had all that information, presented it to them. I had to answer some Q&A here and there, not too crazy, you know, like an afternoon or two to go through the process. And then it was like, okay, cool. You're in escrow now. Wait 45 days. Now you get the house. Like, that was really about it. Like, it was just, you know, little things you have to do too, like, you know, inspections and whatever. But, like, again, that wasn't that big of a deal. So it's a relatively simple process to, like, get a house. It just takes time, you know, and money. Yeah. I think it costs us, some money. But that's really about it. It's not, like, it's not the end of the world. It's no. And so you really have, you know, so if, he goes and he wants to buy this house, it's just going to be hysterical.
Yeah, it would be really funny. I mean, the only reason why I would think he might not want to buy it is because the mom is still living there. But, you know, apparently she's not in good health. So, I mean.
Yeah. Well, the morning afternoon headshot says, did you know he said to aid my mom's wing in referring to the house? Yeah. I did hear that line when she was talking and I was all like, my mom's wing.
You mean the room next door?
Yeah. Like the room on the other side of the house. Because it's like a one bedroom house.
It looks like there's like five rooms total in it.
No, I don't think there is. Like, unless you're including bathrooms on that one. Like,
well, there's that addition. There's like, not four rooms, but like, I mean, like four living spaces, I guess, that would include a bathroom being considered a living space. Like, not bedrooms, right? Like, just rooms. It looks like a square, right? And there's two rooms in the front, two rooms in the back, and then there's that add-on, which would be like the fifth room. And it looks really small.
His house looks small.
Yeah, you know, and if like... you look at the other houses, it's like, what the fuck? Like that one's the odd one out, right?
And you know, I've never looked at a street, but I did catch the clip last night when Jesse from Pod Awful went to his house. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I heard about it. And he put a sticker on his mailbox.
I happened to I was a little bit late getting to the stream tonight because I had to run to the store. Mm-hmm. And like I PO Phantom Organization was like stream sniping him, and like that's what popped up in my recommended. And I'm like, okay, PO is live. I'll see what PO is saying right now. And I click on it real quick, and it's Ralph. And he just goes like, I bought all these stickers. You know, like, I can't wait to get them. I'm going to put them on everything. And I'm just going like your mailbox to cover up the Pod Awful.
How far does that guy live from him? Because like if he's
in fucking California.
He traveled that distance to stick
I don't know why.
He must be like he must be going somewhere else, and that was maybe like
he might have been in DC or something, or somewhere in, you know, Virginia area, and then decided to like take a couple hour jaunt down to Virginia in order to put a sticker on Ralph's mailbox. I can't say that I wouldn't have the exact same thought, you know, like I can't say that I've never done anything, you know, like, oh, let me detour something real quick.
Yeah, if it's only a little out of the way. But yeah. I wish you would have like done something more than that. Like it was just kind of.
Well, I mean, have legality to deal with here. You have a lot of legalities. Like, you know, there was a in the chat actually on a stream. I think it was Ralph actually like saying that Jesse's going to go to jail for that.
Really?
Let me see if I took a screenshot because apparently now that I'm actually like. Like logging shit, apparently.
I could see that being some form of a veiled threat or something along those lines, right? But I don't think Jesse's ever threatened him, right? So for him to go
Jesse's never
intimidation, right?
Like, well, I mean, it's really about like your interpretation of intimidation, to be honest with you. Yeah. So okay, so what I'll do is I'll bring this up on both the screen for you and then the screen for everybody else. But if you first off, this is the screenshot of the chat. I was able to get my hands on. There, look at that right there. The red, okay. The red is what I believe is Ethan.
Yeah,
and so yeah, okay. So here we go. For you guys watching at home, this is a screenshot of the chat from Pod Awful stream, and the Punished Ralph account. There's two Punished Ralphs. We see one Punished Space Ralph.
Yeah, so one of them has to be him.
Well, the red is what I believe is him, and because it seems like him. Good luck with your arrest warrant tomorrow. The sticker will soon be in the police custody, right? Like things like that.
Yeah, that sounds makes, like Ralph.
Yeah, but then the Punished Space Ralph is a fake account. But I have heard somebody say that there is a fake Punished Ralph account where the L in Ralph is really a capital I, and you can't tell. So, I mean, I believe that this is him. It feels like him. It's the same kind of – he doesn't like to use – he's not a fan of capitals when he's chatting, of you know, punctuation.
Oh, that's shit. Yeah.
I've watched
– for that reason.
Yeah. And so I've watched – and then also, like, there's no grammar or punctuation. And that seems a lot like what he does when he commented on the chat from – on the live stream with Chris. Let me actually see if I've got that, because I'm actually pretty certain I actually have that fucking. I know I feel so dumb right now. It's all like, let me just go and take a look here at all these screen captures. Apparently, I have.
Well, I mean, it's good to cross reference and confirm that, right?
Well, yeah. I normally don't do that sort of thing, to be honest with you. But I just find it. To be interesting from time to time, because you never know when something's going to come up, right? Like you just never know. So I may or may not have that on here. I'd have to go back and look for it, but it's nothing I'm going to look at right now. It's just I have a lot of screenshots I'm trying to look at.
Yeah, and if you can't find it, like you could, you always know that everything is archived on the farms on Ethan Ralph's thread, so it doesn't really matter.
No, I just I must, you know what it is? I must have deleted the images. Cause the thing I have, it archives all the photos. Like someone asked me to, I'll show you guys this one here. Someone asked me to make a meme about Ralph. and this is what I put together. If I could find, you know, it's, I'm just going to resave it. As that way it's there we go. That was at the top of my feed. Okay. There we go. So this is, I'll post it for you guys there. And then let me just post it for you in the chat. So I made this, it's Ralph and Gator, how I interpret their relationship. There you go. That's how I view their relationship at this point.
Oh yeah, for sure. He's completely subservient to him.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh yeah, he totally is. He totally is. Just like
I think half of it's like the deal that they have worked out, like, cause he's essentially working for Ralph. Ralph's his boss. And I think the other half is his stupidity, stupid loyal, which is not a bad characteristic, but I mean, I don't know, man, you got to jump ship at some point. You don't want to go down with it.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Anyway, I just made that for shits and grins and sent that to some people and they were laughing. So, you know, occasionally you get into late night calls with people and it's all like, you know, you start going like, I wonder about this meme. I could think of this really funny idea for a meme.
So
you just pull out Photoshop and go to work. I think Midnight Fox here says, I need bleach. Yeah, I don't disagree. But all right, man, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to wrap this thing up because I got some more work to do before I go to bed. And I got to get to work on some other stuff. I'm a little bit behind today. So thank you very much for coming on in, Biohazard. Thank you for everyone who called in tonight. And we'll definitely talk again soon.
Okay, thanks, Matt.
Thank you. All right, that was fun. Funny. I'm hoping to get back into like just the, you know, formatting of the show. I got to format this fucking thing, figure out a way to format it. I try to keep it loose and free and quick and easy because I just don't want to think about it. It's like, I'll go live. We'll see what happens. But I think if I don't spend 45 minutes reading through an email chain, we might actually get some more callers, unfortunately. So I appreciate everyone coming in. Thank you very much to the regular crew that's here. Lexi, Morning Afternoon, Headshot, Aruk, A Cat. I do see Lord Humongous is here again. The Midnight Fox is here. Pyro Crusader dropping them Discord links in the chat. I appreciate everyone coming on by. Apparently, I angered some people last night. For criticizing DLive, I don't quite know. Don't really care. I'm going to criticize the hell out of it like I criticize a lot of other shit. Anyway, I appreciate everyone listening. If you guys want to follow me on social media, Twitter is a good way to do it. Good thing on Discord, submit your concept and we'll maybe get some chat going on there. And Ear Juice. Oh, yeah, sorry, Ear Juice. I forgot about Ear Juice. What's going on, buddy? All right. And I'll see everyone later. Have yourself a great day. Remember to laugh at the gunt because we almost laugh at the gunt. It's how we keep the bees away. All right, guys. I'll see you.